G'day and welcome to The Fen, proudly brought to you by George's Fine Meats, Cherrybrook and Five Star Real Estate. Great to have your company. Horsey with you alongside rugby league legend Gary Jimmy Jack, who's just had a little dash up to Foster for a bit of a break. How'd that go, Jimmy?
Yeah, very good, mate. I had my father-in-law's 85th birthday, so we went up there and saw Bill for the weekend. It was fantastic. We played golf at Foster Tuncurry. He's 85 and he gave me a golfing lesson. He plays.
He must be ordinary.
I didn't play too good. No, I had. he played very good, and I didn't play too good. But he's a very consistent golfer, and it was great to get up there. And Foster, it was a beautiful weekend. On the weekend, The footy was great. The golf wasn't too good, but it was lovely just to get out of the city for the weekend.
Yeah, I love going to Foster. Go there every summer. I manage to put on about 10 kilos every time. Fish and chips, ice cream. It's just the place to be. Haven't we been spoiled for sport lately? I had a bit of a late night watching the Matildas. How good were they? Smashing Canada 4-0. And then the Ashes. The Pommies getting the job done in the fifth test, unfortunately, to tie the series 2-2. Feels like we lost that series, but they dominated those last few tests, unfortunately. But anyway, let's talk some rugby league, Jimmy. That's why we are here. Let's kick it off with the five-star five. I want to start with Cameron McInnes. Whatever it was, 84 tackles, 78 tackles, 81 tackles. It was an NRL record, and what a machine he is for the Sharks. And I guess he needed to make some tackles because Penrith were running right 28-0.
Yeah, it was. And that's, of all the years of taking stats, I remember when Paul Taylor, the fullback for Parramatta, playing second row, I think he did 60 tackles in the game. But to do 83 or 84 tackles is unbelievable. Like, what a player. What a player to get up and to keep going. And he's such a fit player. And, he sets a record, which I don't think will ever be beaten.
Yeah, he loves tackling McInnes. He must dream about it. I tell you what, if he wasn't out there, it could have been double 28-0. Dragons, I thought I was listening to Jeff Toovey, their interim coach Ryan Carr, saying this is ridiculous. He must have said that about 14 times about the bunker when they went down to Manly 24-18. There was some contention about a try to Dan Russell, which was disallowed, and also the sin binning of Jack DeBellum. But Ryan Carr, usually interim coaches just toe the line. They're just keeping the seat warm for the next coach. But he said, stuff that. I'm going to have a crack here.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ryan Carr was spot on. I couldn't believe he was having a crack too. And what he said was 100% correct. Those two decisions that went against them really cost them the game in the final wash-up. St. George were... It was, 24-18. So one of those decisions, or certainly the try, and then for Jack DeBellum to be sin binned. Now, it'll be interesting to see what they do. The bunker had a shocking weekend on the weekend. They made quite a few blunders. It'll be interesting to see what they do with Jack DeBellum over the weekend. But I thought the Dragons played pretty well and were unlucky to get beaten.
Also in that game, this is our third point for the five-star five, Daly Cherry Evans, 300 NRL games, magnificent performance from DCE. And also, I'll tie in with that, another milestone, Daniel Tupu from the Roosters notching up try 140, which makes him the most capped or the most prolific Roosters try scorer of all time, going past the great Anthony Minicello.
Yes, that's a great effort by Daniel Tupu. So congratulations on his 140th try. And, DCE, he's played 22 Origins and 18 Tests and 300 games at the one club. That's a fantastic effort. I think he's second now to Cliffy Lyons, I think, has done 300. And Beaver Menzies would be up there too. Tremendous effort. He's just getting better with age, DCE. He really is a great leader. A great inspiration for Manly, and they'd be lost without him.
Just on that, I think Steve Menzies has been denied 300 games because he played for the Northern Eagles, which to me is Manly. It's the same thing. Manly absorbing North Sydney in that failed merger, and that shouldn't count against the Beaver. He should have 300 games plus. So that needs to be reviewed in time. The DCE thing has led to questions. Has he gone past Jeff Toovey as the greatest number seven at Manly? And I don't know. Toove's won a couple of comps in 96. Actually, only won the one, didn't he? 96. So I don't know. Yeah. He's just, I don't know. Toove's, he's just a legend of the club. I think he's still got him just.
Yeah, Toove's was a tough, but I'd say that DC is probably more skillful than Toovey. Toovey was just a really tough little nut to crack, whether he played halfback or he played 5'8" or he played hooker. He could cover all three. I remember I saw his debut against Great Britain in 1988. at Brookvale Oval. he was like, he was the ball boy.
He looked like the ball boy, straight off the surf. Ball boy. Yeah.
And that was his debut, and what a great player Jeff Tuvey was for Manly over that period. But I think, yeah, look, there's not much struck match between them, but I think DC might be just a little bit better kicking game, a little bit better maybe organisation than Tuvey's.
Yep, fair enough. All right, number four. What are the Knights doing, mate? Like, four in a row, they're flying. Great win over the Raiders 28-6 in Canberra. They just smashed Melbourne, who are playing well, and now they're talking to other coaches. I mean, if you looked for ways of sabotaging your season, this is the way to do it. Adam O'Brien has finally got the team purring. They're playing great footy, and the Knights or people connected to the Knights are talking to Justin Holbrook about, you know, about possibly coaching the club. Holbrook's record at the Titans was just so-so. It's not you wouldn't put your season at risk to go and sign Justin Holbrook. Maybe if Wayne Bennett was keen, or no, we won't say Wayne Bennett, he's already been there, but maybe if Craig Bellamy was keen, you might go out of your way and take a few risks to get him, but not Justin Holbrook, with all due respect to him. His record at the Titans is nothing to be doing handstands about.
Yeah. And Adam O'Brien has done it's been a hard couple of years, but you can see maybe all the hard work, all the training, all the skill, all the pieces of the puzzle are starting to fall into place for Newcastle, because they were exceptional on the weekend. Like, who goes to Canberra and brings Canberra at Canberra 28 points to 6? It just does not happen. I'm sorry, but it doesn't happen. And they did it. So that just goes to say, wait, maybe everything's coming together for Adam O'Brien. I think that maybe, and I've been critical of Newcastle for the last couple of years, that, you know, they're very inconsistent, but they have been. I think they've won, four in a row now, maybe even five in a row. Their run could start to make the top eight. They could be – they're a real threat. As long as Ponga stays fit, you know, Jackson Hastings is playing great. The forwards are playing great. As long as those guys are fit, I think they can go a long way in this competition.
All right, well, Jimmy, I'm going to come to you later in the podcast for your top eight, because it's five games to go. This is when traditionally we do our run home and who's going to make it and who's going to miss out. So we'll come back to that one. But certainly the Knights are on a roll. I'm sorry, Jimmy, I have to pick you up on a previous statement about the Raiders, who goes to Canberra and beats them 28-6. I tell you what, they're lining up, mate. They've had a few big losses down there, the Raiders at GIO Stadium.
Well, what like
the, the Panthers put 50 on them. Manly put 40 on them. The Warriors did a job on them in Jared Kroger's 300th game. They've got a real issue there, Canberra, in terms of playing at home. They seem to be better away from home. And I know Ricky Stewart's been talking to his players about it, because they get the Viking clap going. It's supposed to be this intimidating theatre, and they just keep rolling over.
I've got a theory. I think it's global warming. I think global warming.
I'd love to hear this. Come on.
Yeah, costing Canberra a premiership, because the world's changing. It's warmer down there in Canberra. It used to be freezing cold. You'd never get out of your car. You'd never get to watch. But now, all of a sudden, it's 18, 20, 22 degrees of an afternoon when the guys go and play footy, and it's not uncomfortable. It's not cold.
Mate, it's just the Weather Channel. What are we talking about the weather for? Mind you, warmest July on record for Sydney. Just been beautiful, hasn't it?
That's my point exactly. You should be listening. That's why I think global change, climate change is probably costing Canberra their success.
This is huge. What a revelation.
And I'm not a climate change activist, let me tell you. But that's the theory that I heard. And I tell you what, he's right, because it's always cold to go. You'd hate to, but now you don't mind going to Canberra because it's a lovely sunny day.
That's right. The Tigers played in snow there one year, I think, back in 2000.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, very good point, Jimmy. It's getting the world Canberra's is becoming too nice.
In 20 years. Okay. So I put it down to climate change.
So Canberra need to move all their games out of Canberra. Okay.
I need to go to Cooma.
Go to Jindabyne. Okay, and our point five, Jim, I'm sorry, but Melbourne Storm, what are you doing? This is disgraceful. Before the Eels game, they wheeled out all their trophies that they'd won. Fair enough, 1999, absolutely. 2017, 2012, what else was there? 2020. But 2007, 2009, hello? They were stripped off you for salary cap cheating.
They cheated.
It's insulting, especially playing against the Eels, who they beat in the 2009 grand final, $1 million over the cap, to wheel out trophies. And just if you didn't see it, they did actually buy replica trophies and they plonked them out on the side of the field for everyone to look at. Yep. I mean, You know what I think the eventual aim is here, Jimmy, is over time they'll just keep doing this to the point where everyone just forgets that the trophies were stripped and Melbourne were the real winners. I mean, it's like Seinfeld, George Costanza, he quit his job. He went home, thought, oh, I shouldn't have done that. He goes back on Monday and says, oh, g'day, everyone, like nothing ever happened. It did happen. They cheated. They lost the titles. Fair enough. Yep. If they invited players back there for the 25th anniversary, they want to include those guys from 2007, 2009, that's fine. Just parade them to the fans as our grand final winning players. But to go and get trophies, replica trophies, with 2007 and 2009 written on them and parade them to the fans is insulting. It's offensive.
Yeah. Yeah, it's also offensive to the game too, because they were stripped by the league under David Gallop's, and he made the right decision, David Gallop, and to then parade it, you know, some 15 years later, or that yes, we did win the comp in 07 and 09. No, you didn't. They cheated. People, they're cheaters. You know, Greg Inglis had a boat, and so and so had, you know, three boats, and they cheated. To win, they weren't the best player in the competition. They had players that shouldn't have been in the team because they were 1.6 over the salary cap. So, you know, you would never have got that team together because unless you cheated. And to say that they won the comp in 07, 09, I think it smirks of arrogance. It smirks of hypocrisy. It's a disgrace for the Melbourne Storm.
Well, and Parramatta in 2009, Parramatta still, we're still waiting for a bloody premiership, mate. And we went up against a team that was well over the salary cap. Who knows? If you took Greg Inglis out of that team, Parramatta might have won. We might not be having to endure all these Eels jokes about how long this drought is. But anyway, so that had me a bit hot under the collar. Okay, moving along now before we run into legal issues. Wally Lewis, your old mate, the King.
Yeah.
Story on 60 Minutes over the weekend about his latest health battle. What did you make of that? It's a probable case of CTE.
CTE, which is like early signs of dementia. Very sad to hear. I played with Wally for, gee whiz, for 5 years. We played together for Australia and against him, and he was probably the best captain I ever had and one of the most inspirational, probably the top two inspirational players I've ever played with in my career. And very sad to hear that he's been diagnosed with CTE. At 63 years of age, I hope that he's okay, because he doesn't deserve what's happened. It just makes you wonder, geez, you know, as you get older, he played it hard, he played it tough. Sometimes you know, other people are okay. Touch wood, I'm okay. You know, Block is okay, Junior Pierce is okay. I think Peter Sterling's okay, Brett Kenny's okay. Just unlucky. Some people like that, Mario Fenwick. He's also got a little bit of CTE with Wally. Some players, Royce Simmons is also down that track as well. Just terribly unlucky. And my heart goes out to Wally and to all those guys that are suffering from CTE from playing football.
Mm. Your Tigers, mate, showed some ticker against Souths. They looked like they were going to maybe be on the wrong end of a big score when they South scored in the first minute. But 32-18, just outclassed in the end.
Outclassed in the end, yes, they were. And it was Latrell's first game back too. He didn't run for a great deal of metres for the game, so when he does run, he has a huge impact for South Sydney. He did have, I think, 18 or 17 or 18 runs for the game, which he normally doesn't do that many. Normally he's about 12. So that I was quite interested to see he had more runs but not as many metres. So probably lucky for the Tigers that he didn't get those extra metres into the game, because what he did show, he was devastating. But you know, disappointing from the Tigers. You know, again, so it looks like, well, it's not confirmed yet, but it looks like back-to-back wooden spoons. Our only hope is that St. George, that we can catch St. George. We've got two wins over the remaining, five games. We've got to get two wins to catch them, which could be difficult. It's just another ordinary performance.
Yeah,
I know they're trying, but they're just not good enough.
Look, great Scully Park there, Tamworth, packed to the rafters. That was awesome. But I can't believe you guys haven't won a game since that win over the Cowboys at Leichhardt. Yeah. Incredible. 66-18, I thought, wow, I think you're up to 12th at that point. And I just thought, here come the Tigers. They're going to finish this year really strongly. It's all going in the right direction. And to think you've lost, seven or eight in a row since then, it's just, how does that happen?
Yep. Maybe I need to make a comment to criticise the players and to just tell them how hopeless they are to rev them up.
I don't think that'll help, mate. I don't think that's going to help at all. Mate, it was a rough night for our teams because Parramatta followed your game and they got whacked by the Storm. Really, probably their worst performance of the year, Parramatta.
What happened with Parramatta? Why so bad?
Started well. Scored the first try through Russell. And then I thought Bryce Cartwright should have put the ears back and he would have scored for 10-0, but he just passed the ball to Russell, who had no chance of scoring in the corner. I just thought that was a huge turning point. And from there, the Storm got a roll on. And Parramatta just had no intent in defence, no hunger, no desire. They just, yeah. You know, Harry Grant, Jerome Hughes, they just rolled through Parramatta. They were missing a few players, but so were the Storm, just quietly. Big Nelson wasn't out there. So it was a pretty ordinary effort from Parramatta, who really are walking the finals tightrope, which we will come back to.
Is RCG back? RCG?
No, he's got two more weeks. Micah's got two more weeks. Dylan Brown is back this week against the Dragons. If I'm Dylan Brown, I'm feeling a bit guilty, actually. And I'll be out there trying to make up for lost ground for a completely unnecessary suspension and quite costly. Dejan Arcee's done his best as a replacement, but he's no Dylan Brown. Yep. So that's been really, really costly for Parramatta. A big finish there between the Dolphins and the Bulldogs, 23-22 at Bundaberg. Jermaine Asako with a chance to win it. Wasn't on the sideline, but it was a bit of a tricky kick. He's usually a very good goal kicker, Jermaine. Yep. He had a bad miss earlier in the game, and I thought he'd learn from that, but he didn't. And it swung across. The Doggies got the one-point win. Maybe as he was lining up, I'm thinking that's a lot of pressure on a goal kicker in this situation, isn't it? It's win or lose. Yeah. If he misses, they lose. If he gets it, they win. There's a lot of pressure involved. And I was trying to think, who would I want kicking for my life, you know, as a goal kicker from what I've seen? And you can figure all the toe pokers back in the day, they kicked it around 60%. So in more modern times, I think Hazemel Masri would probably be a guy I remember nailing a lot of pressure sideline conversions.
Yeah, he was very good. Halligan, he was very good also from the sidelines. Michael O'Connor was pretty good under pressure, let me tell you. Maybe he kicked the goal line from the try from the...
The Origin, yeah. 1991.
1991 to win the Origin for New South Wales. Did it countless times for St George and Manly. So he was good under pressure. Yeah, there's been a few, but that he really should have. I thought he was going to kick that. He had to kick. That's all you practice for, is for putting those over under pressure. And it wasn't too difficult to kick. Yes, it was a little bit breezy, but really, he'll be absolutely, dare I say it, kicking himself. He should have nailed it because it wasn't a too difficult kick.
Maybe unfamiliar ground. He hasn't played at Bundaberg before. Maybe that was a factor. Who knows? Nathan Cleary's another one I'd also have no hesitation in kicking for my life. He's just he's a machine. So prolific.
What about his drop goal? Did you see his drop goal on the weekend?
Who?
He had a kick from 42 metres out, Cleary, just on half time, and it just went a foot under the crossbar. Yeah.
Well, nothing would beat that 2-point field goal he produced against Parramatta earlier in the year in the last second of play. Just freaky stuff. Time for our code word of the week. Jimmy, 10% off your next order at George's Fine Meats, Cherrybrook. What a place it is.
10%. It could only be DCE.
300 DCE games.
300 games. You know, it doesn't happen very often. I know there has been a couple of guys in this season that have done their 300th game. So DCE is the code word for the week down to George's Fine Meats on his fantastic achievement. It's taken, 10, 11 years to get there, but he did it. So well done, DCE.
NRL's off to Perth this week. Jimmy, you ever play over there in your career?
No, I never got to play over in Perth. I was injured when they went over there, so I think I broke my knee or something, or broke something. But, yeah, it's a lovely spot. I've never been there. I'd love to go to Perth.
Never been to Perth.
Never been to Perth. No.
Incredible. No.
Why?
You've been overseas. You haven't been to. Your own country.
I've been to Auckland. I've been everywhere else.
Perth's a great spot. I haven't been there much myself, but they're doubleheader there: Dolphins, Knights, Rabbitohs, Sharks. Parramatta played back there in the 90s when they first started taking games there. I think they had a bit of luck, the Eels, but looking forward to that one. Which brings me, Jimmy, to who do we think is going to make the finals, mate? We've got five games left. It's the run home. This is it. This is intense. Who have you got making the top eight? Or do you want me to go first while you chew it over?
Yeah, you chew it over.
Okay, I've crunched the numbers, right? This is no surprise. I've got Penrith first. Broncos second. I've got the Warriors third. Now I've got Melbourne dropping out of the top four as it stands now. And coming in, I've got the Rabbitohs. I've got the Rabbitohs at fourth. They've got a pretty friendly draw. Melbourne fifth. Now, this one may surprise you, but it's something you touched on earlier. I could be way off the mark here, but I just think they're playing with momentum and they've got a pretty good draw. I've got Newcastle coming in at sixth, which you would never have picked at the start of the year. I've got the Cowboys in seventh. And then I've got Cronulla dropping out of the eight. And I've got Canberra just hanging on to eighth place, and which pains me to say, I've got the Eels missing. I've got the Eels missing and the Sharks missing.
Yeah, and the Eels missing, the Sharks missing, yeah. Okay, well, that's quite interesting. Look, I think if I go from eight back up, I think Cronulla will just fall in. I think Fitzy will pull them together. As you said, I love Fitzy. He said on the weekend, we'll go down swinging. How about that for the coach when he says that? We'll go down swinging.
They didn't score a point against the Panthers.
I know. 28-0. They'll go down swinging. So for me, when he said they'll go down swinging, I'm going to put the Sharkies in there at number eight. I do think that the Cowboys will continue on their run. They had a blip last week, but I think they will come good. So I've got the Cowboys there.
Jeremiah Nanai and Val Holmes, big losses. Big losses.
They are. But I think that he's got them. He's got them playing very good football.
Yep.
Drinkwater's playing very well. So I still go with the Cowboys. I think Newcastle will continue on their role. So I think they'll come. I've got them coming in at six. I have got the Storm there. I've got the Rabbits there. The Warriors, the Broncos, and the Penny Panthers make up the eight.
Yeah, I've got I've got the Tigers getting back-to-back wooden spoons just behind the Dragons.
Yeah. Okay. And who is the most disappointing team of the season?
I think it's got to be Roosters, doesn't it? I think it has to be Roosters. And I also think Bulldogs, as I've mentioned, I know the spin out of Canterbury is, we're just building. But, I mean, if you look at their signings the last couple of years, they've brought in some pretty big names. And to be well down the ladder again, I think they're disappointing. But probably the Roosters just.
Yeah. When you think the Roosters were a top four side last year and now they're a bottom four side, like what's gone wrong? They've got Joey Manu there, he's the world's golden boot winner. They've got
Jake Tedesco.
You know, there's a couple of superstars there. They're just not firing. And they'd be my biggest disappointment of the season would be the Roosters and the Tigers. Well, Tigers, mate.
Yeah, Tigers, like I said on this very podcast at the start of the year, when you add Papalihi, Coruscant, Clemmer, Bateman, Charlie Staines to a lesser extent, but he did win a comp at Penrith, you would think there's enough signings there to get yourself off the bottom of the table. Yeah. So, yeah, I've got the Tigers up there as well. I should have mentioned them.
I don't know if they can back to – look, you put if a coach has gone back-to-back wooden spoons, I think Tim Sheens's position there is untenable. I don't think he can be the coach next year. You can't go back-to-back wooden spoons and then be the coach again for another year. You know,
well, he wasn't there last year. Remember, he removed himself from the scene.
But he overseed it. Yes, he overseen.
I didn't see too much overseeing when poor old Brett Camorley was sitting in the box on his own.
When you look up at the coach's box, there was no one there. Yeah,
he was on his Pat Malone. It's all yours, Noddy.
Yeah, it's all yours, Noddy. And he's done a good job with the women, Noddy. He's got two from two, so that's good to see.
He's a good man, Noddy.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what the Tigers do if they, you know, they very well may go 3 years back-to-back wooden spoons. I don't think anyone's done that for a while.
Well, that'll be handing Benji the old you-know-what sandwich in 2025.
Yeah, that's what he does.
Three straight spoons.
If they're going to improve, they have to make significant changes now to set up 2025.
We haven't got a halfback. They haven't got a halfback for next year, have they?
No, we haven't. No, there's a few players we haven't got. Yeah, we're all under the salary cap. Yeah, that's one good thing. But the salary cap's made to even things out, to make teams, similar, give bottom teams a chance. So what have the Tigers done for 11 years when we still can't even make the eight? What's the point of having a salary cap? We're just dumb.
In Benji, we trust, mate. He'll get the job done. Fend at the end time, and this has to go to the ongoing RLPA saga. Jimmy got a bit farcical on the weekend with the NRL logo being taped over, and you saw the tape fall off in certain games. In fact, DCU, who's the general manager of the RLPA, his logo was there for everyone to see, so his tape must have fallen off pretty early in that game against the Dragons. But it's becoming a bit farcical, and the media ban also. For example, the NRLW, they've just started a new competition. they're trying to grow this product, the women's game, and you can't hear from them on game day. They could score three tries, you can't hear from them. Has the RLPA changed channels and looked at the Women's World Cup, which is absolutely selling out stadiums? Every girl wants to be a Matilda at the moment. Conversely, our girls can't talk to anyone and they can't spread the word. It's just a farce.
It's a farce. Yep. It is a farce. You know, just imagine the situation on the weekend. DCE's 300th game, and what do you say? He's of the Players Association. He's the general manager or whatever there of the Players Association. He would have received the award from Andrew Abdo.
I don't think he could make it down there. Coincidentally, yeah.
Yeah, so, he couldn't make it down. But that would have been a nice meeting, wouldn't it, between those two?
A little bit awkward, yes. But hopefully it gets wrapped up in all seriousness because it is tiresome and it's damaging to the game. Jimmy, nothing damaging about you. You've done your level best again, and thanks for joining us.
Always did my best, mate. I can't guarantee you. But I'll give you 100%. Don't worry about that. That's what you always get from me, Aussie, 100%. So thank you for everything. It's been another fascinating week. Round 22 of the NRL is complete. We've got the countdown now to the top eight, so it's always a riveting end to the season.
Hey, and good news. The Tigers are playing the Raiders in Canberra, mate, and we've just spoken about the fact that global warming is costing the Raiders at home, so Tigers are a shoo-in.
What do we play at night, or was it a daytime game?
It is an afternoon game.
Oh, that's good. We'll put your money on that. Put your house on it.
Okay, Tigers to win. You heard it there first, and hopefully the Eels can get over the Dragons to get the momentum for a finals charge. We'll be back next week with the Fen. Thanks for joining us. Thank you.
All the best. Pun eye and follow through.